Well, we're going to continue on the series of teaching that I started. The Lord spoke to me and kept coming to me about due season, or we could say the title is due time, or it could be due season would be a correct way to translate it, or it could just be the right time. We might say, speaking of the what the scriptures uses that phrase, it's used from the in the Old Testament and into the New Testament, dealing with God doing things at the right time, and the right season comes in the right time. It's amazing because we need to look at these things. God's been dealing with me about this. One of the reasons He's talking to me about this is because people being out of time. It's not we don't have time to do anything, but people are doing things in the wrong time. In other words, it would just be like a farmer. You know, you'd want to make sure you're planting and doing whatever you're doing in the right season if you want to get a crop. And people, from the standpoint, have gone along and they have focused on certain things. And many times God maybe makes a change to do something else, but people keep following whatever else they were doing. Or God's coming along and doing something people don't notice often. You know, in this things as I study, it's just a remarkable thing because we take God's people, Israel. And here's people talking about the Messiah coming back. And they didn't recognize Him when He came back. And the reason they didn't recognize Him coming back, because, and the Lord has dealt with me. In fact, He talked with me that early this morning. In the early hours, I was praying and about this, some of these things. It's one of the things that people many times are looking for a revelation of something ahead, and they don't know what they're supposed to be doing right now. And what happens, people end up developing their own things of what they think things are. They keep looking out there for something. One of the biggest things to do is to do what you're supposed to do right now. You know, it's nothing matter with the Holy Spirit will show us things to come, but our job is not to keep looking out there to way out there to somewhere and not doing what we're supposed to do right now. So, you know, and I asked the Lord, well, what's the season now? I said, we have a lot of things being said, a lot of things being done. And sometimes a season for individual might be for an individual might be something different between people, that what God wants them to do. The church world tries to put out cookie cutters, you know. You know that you always get, you know, you get some of these ministers, everybody's supposed to give all their money to them. That's their cookie cutter thing, you know, that they got. You know, they have their cookie cutter thing that they got that everybody ought to be doing, but everybody needs to find their place. You know, even the area of giving. You know, people need to know this. You're not, you know, you need to know what God's word. God's telling you to put your money, not where some preacher says you're supposed to put your money from the standpoint. They just say, well, you know, we have a good ministry, so you give to my ministry. Well, I'm sorry. There's thousands and thousands of good ministries. That ain't the way it works. You find your place where you belong. That's when we're dealing with your relationship with God, your walk with God. You find out what you're supposed to do. That's why some people don't get much return ever on their giving, because they're doing their giving. You know, find out what God's telling you to do. Find out what He wants you to get involved in, what He's putting in your heart to do, and then you do that. And that, you know, different giftings, and you operate. God does different things and shows, you know, I have God, does over my Christian walk numbers of times. I've given money many times to people I didn't ever even know or ever even saw before in my life. And God just, go give that person some money. And I've gone and given them money. You know, you got to learn to be led by the Spirit. You know, if you've never done that, I'm just going to tell you, you never listened. I'm just going to be honest with you. You need to listen. You know, it's one thing is you can't look at the person to think what they are or whatever else. God has picks me out of people sometimes, and I think, you know what, you give them money, it looked like they'd just go buy probably some drugs with it. But God told me to give it to them. So either I obey God or move by what I think.
Amen.
And you have to learn because, see, you know, whether you realize it or not, you build prejudices. No, I can't say that. We do. About a lot of things. Prejudice ain't about race and stuff. We can build a prejudice by our race, the way we think and the way we've been taught. And we build prejudices towards some. Some prejudices are very good. There's things I'm prejudiced against. I ain't going to do. It's called sin. I'm prejudiced. There's things you want to be prejudiced. There's things you don't want to cross lines with. It's wrong. And you don't want to cross lines. But there's things that we build them because of how we're brought up, cultural things and stuff. And sometimes God has trouble getting us across those things to get us to do certain things because they don't fit culture. Oh, and our cultures mean so much to us. Oh, It's one thing the devil has done. He's kept Christianity from going ahead because people love their cultures more than they love Jesus. Their cultures are so important. Our American culture is so important. It's so important to us, you know? And it's one of the things that's really hurting the church today. Because the church, if you can't see things right or you don't see things clear, you're going to make wrong decisions. You're going to have wrong ideas about what you think God's saying or trying to get across to you. As Rex, in dealing in this subject, God really enlightened me on some things that I can just see that, my words, how we've gotten and slid away from being led by the Spirit in things. Because, you know, sometimes it gets very hard to be led by the Spirit when you have your ideas get so big within you. And it can be hard sometimes if God's trying to say some things. Now, I know I'm probably the only one here that has that problem. The rest of you are doing great. But God's had to deal with me as some of these things. It's how we view stuff. Things is one of the things that we need to do in the church world is we're in areas of the church world today, people keep pushing ahead. God would really appreciate if we'd draw back and listen a little bit. Right now, He wants people to listen. And that's not in the American culture. The American culture is to keep push. You know? Oh, we're after the blessing. Well, I'm sorry. The blessing is whether you draw back or go ahead. The blessing. The kingdom of God don't change. Hallelujah. And so, it's one of those things sometimes people need just to relax a little bit and listen to God. And that's what we want to do. We're going to go in today because one of the things God's been dealing with me, it's like, what are we to do now? What's today? What does God want us to do or hook up with? What is going on? It's looking out ahead. Now, we've had all these things and people have said, and this is one of the things people talk about, revival. And they say, well, there's a big revival coming, and they say this. One of the things that I found in this, and the Lord spoke to me about it, is most of the time that people are talking about revival, they have no scripture for it in the end time. People just say it. They prophesy it. We say these things, and people put them out there. It's just like the return of the Lord. People, not even the scripture knows and says He's coming back. People throw that out there, and I've watched it over the years, and I've always had questions about it because, well, people say Jesus could come back at any time. But what does that mean? Do you ever stop and think He can come back at any time? He can? Well, I've looked over in scripture, and I thought, well, the Bible said certain things are going to happen. They ain't happened yet. Well, He couldn't come back at any time. Now, they're well-meaning people, but they're deceiving other people. Well-meaning people, but they're saying things, throwing things out there, and we need to understand that. You know, we need to be careful about what we said. You've heard me use this term. Christianity in America is a cliche church. We got all these religious cliches we say amongst each other. And there's things that I hear people say over time, and I think, I wish people would quit saying that. Because it's stupid. It shows our ignorance. Every time we do, the devil laughs and goes, oh my God, I got him. They're walking along. People say things and we need to be very careful about these things about the Bible. One of the things that I did learn from Kenneth Hagin, which I'm very grateful, he was really big on the Word. You know, make sure that you have the Word for stuff. Make sure you know. You put the Word out there because people know. It's just like I said in opening today concerning prophecy. Prophecy for you to walk in has to line up with the Word. You know, it can't be just because say, well, God wants to move. Oh, God's always wanted to move. Don't mean He is. You know, it's people just throw it out there like, well, I'll just believe it and it'll happen. Well, good luck. You're the only person in the world and you're just going to make it all happen. And well, good luck on that one. Jesus wasn't even that good. He couldn't get into Nazareth, couldn't do any mighty work. What are you going to do? Figured if Jesus couldn't, it's a good chance you're not. It depends on other people. It isn't about what we want. There's been a lot of extremes in the areas of the faith ministry. And it has hindered us here in the end time for finding our place. It's hindered us. Because we get the idea, well, I just run around and say anything. And I want this, I want that. Hold it. What does Jesus want? You know, it's like I said, well, the people, you know, we have this today. We have our lives set. You know, you go to school, you go to college, you go to this. And when it's all over, let's ask Jesus what He wants to do with my life. Well, it's too late now. You ain't going to follow Jesus. You just spent 35 years doing your own thing. Ain't a good chance you're going to change that one. You You know, it's like today, trying to get kids to work. They go through school, they don't work. They go, you know, go to college and don't work. They spend a quarter, almost a third of their life. And after a third of your life you spend not working, now we're going to get them to work. Good luck on that one. It ain't going to happen. You train them. Now, I don't care what you taught them in school. They're going to follow what you trained them. And you trained them not to work. That's what you trained them to do. Education don't mean anything without training. And we ain't training them to do nothing. We're just giving them information. And telling them, I'm giving you all this information. Don't work. Whatever you do, don't work. And they say, oh, notice here, people don't want to work today. And the people are saying it did it with their own kids. They did it with their own kids. Train your own kids not to work, like blaming somebody else for this thing. My mom and dad had the right idea. You know, we worked from the time we were kids. We had responsibility at home. And you did them, you know. There was no, and you didn't have responsibility. You didn't get paid for it. You got to eat and a place to sleep. And you got clothing on your back. And if you didn't do it, you was in trouble. You didn't get allowance for taking your part in life. You don't pay people for it. People, I don't have to be paid for everything I do in life. And if I have to, I'm a nuisance. Okay, that's good. That's good preaching. Everybody today has got to have money for everything. No, I don't. I don't. There's things I need to do just because I'm a Christian in this life. See, we need to come back to those things again. Hallelujah. We've gotten over where everybody thinks, yeah, no. It's like too many Christians today in this so-called spirit-filled world. It's everything they do, it's about reward to them. No, it's about doing what's right. That's what the bottom line is, doing what's right. Whether there's any reward in it or not at the time. Hey, God's going to reward Ed big on the other side, bigger than he's ever got it on this side. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, there's people, just Christians are going to be downright disappointed when they hit the other side. Because they ain't going to have no reward. Bible talks about, New Testament says there's people going to have no reward. None. Hallelujah. See, there's things that isn't about, everything don't come on this side. But I'm going to tell you what, you can take your temporary reward here, or you can have eternal reward. Which do you want? You're building treasures in one place or the other. Woo! Hallelujah. See, this is good faith preaching. Don't say those things that hinders people's faith. They won't send a check. Don't hinder them. No. Hallelujah. You know, because of these things, people don't really. That's one of the reasons a lot of sickness and disease runs the way it does. People think it's all about just believing God for health. No, it isn't. What you do determines devil's access into people's lives. It's all more than just people say, well, you know, you just need to believe God for healing. I wish it was always that simple. It isn't. It's about your life. It's what you're living. What we're doing. See, we need to get over in these areas. We need to come in and walk, hallelujah, in the place that we belong. There's things in the Word that are there that we have to, you know, you got to walk in love all the time. There's not a season for that one. We don't have, but see, there's things, the basis of the Word and what the Word tells us, the fruit, walking the fruit of the Spirit, developing in that is something that's supposed to go on all the time. But it's not many time with people. See, we don't look for a certain season where that comes. You know, God's desire and fellowship for people this time, that isn't a seasonal thing. It's just this year, He does, His great desire because, is number one, people are going to need it. You know why? There's hard times coming. Oh, don't say it to faith. Oh, don't say, because, hey, I see it with people. I've watched it over the years. The last years here, I've watched as things have gone. People struggling. Who didn't struggle before, but their faith struggles now because of the things that go on. Every little thing don't work out for them. They're discouraged. You see, there's been a problem. They haven't developed a relationship. They don't know. They don't really know God well. They don't know Him well. When things get hard, they'll turn on Him like that. Why don't he? Why is this happening to me? And why, you know, me, wonderful me, how could anything bad happen to me? I'm so great and wonderful and everything like that. My words. Heaven ought to stop. And the sun ought to stop tomorrow anyhow, you know. My God. Well, see, people get into that kind of stuff. And this is what happened. Because it's a lack of fellowship. And you will notice this thing. One thing is, we're running into an end of an age right now. We're running into a place of an end of time concerning the church. It is not going to be an easier walk of faith. Understand this. If you know how to walk by faith, you're good. Now, but if you don't, you're in trouble in these last days. If you can't stand through hard things, you'll become discouraged. You'll become depressed. You'll become whatever. And see, you don't have that just because you can quote some scriptures. You have to know the guy who is the book. Faith becomes real when God is real to you. When he's not somebody we're praying in the dark to somewhere, or somebody where, no, he's alive in me. I know him. Faith becomes real. Faith, when bad things are coming along, that's when faith got to get real. It's got to get real. That's when, and faith cannot be just words on a page. You got to know the God that spoke those words. You got to know the one that spoke them. And the more that you know him and his character, see, do you know his character? You can't really know a person's character just from a book. You can find out facts about them and facts maybe about their character, but you learn a person's character. It's just like, I know Wanda's character. I live with her. Ain't nobody here would know her like I know her. We know each other, the good, the bad, the ugly. That's right. That's right. See, I mean, you know, there's one thing is this, I've learned over the years. I can trust Wanda. I have no doubt in that. I can trust Wanda. No doubt in that whatsoever. Because I know her. I don't care what anybody ever writes about her or says about her. I can stop and say, excuse me, I know her. If anybody could write the facts and the figures, I could. And same from her side. But see, it's one thing is I know, I can trust her. I can't trust her because of what people say and think of her. I know her from her actions. I know her from the good, the bad, the ugly. And in the good, the bad, the ugly, there's one thing it says, in all of that, whether it's good, bad, or what, I can trust her. I know that. I've learned that about her character. She don't change about that. See, sometimes anybody get in the flesh. But concerning her character, I can always trust her. So, but see, I learned that, and you can't know that. See, somebody else, they see the ugly part of it, say, oh, I'm thinking, I wonder if you can trust her. Well, I've lived with her, I know you can't. See, and this is where it is with God. Many people are trying to have faith in a God. They're not sure they can trust. They're not sure. They're not sure he's doing something or not doing something. They ain't sure. They're not sure about it. See, we're most fortunate on this side. God lives in us. And this is one of the things that the Lord's been dealing with me on is people are not taking advantage of it. Not taking advantage of God living in them. They're just trying to live a life. Well, you know, I want to live just a nice life and I want to do this. We're God people. Dear Lord. God lives in us, folk. God lives in us. And we're caught up in all this trivia of life. And it's trivia. The people are all caught up in it. Caught up in it. And why? When you know the guy that's in you, wow, hallelujah. This is a phenomenal thing. Is it true? It's not enough to say it. You can say it and make all the confessions. You got to start living like it is. You know, I got to get around and get out of my disobedience and Lord deal with me to write a book on the three parts of faith. Believing in your heart, saying it with your mouth and acting like it's true. Acting like it's true is the hard thing in Christianity today. We've been designed and made to be all talk. All we have is an all talk Christianity. We're just making confessions. But acting like your confession's really true is another thing in the book. That's another part. Well, I'm going to tell you what. When I got the revelation on acting on the word was the biggest revelation I got about faith. When I got that. When God gave that revelation to me about acting on the word, showed me what to do, taught me what to do in walking in the word, God became real to me. See, he has to become real. He has to become real to you. You can't trust because you read a book. If the guy, there's all kind of books to read, but it's like Jesus talking about his Father. Jesus was the living Word. This Word's alive. You can't know this thing. I don't care how you study it. Without the Holy Spirit, you come up with all kind of answers and things. That's why we have so much different stuff taught on one subject, so much nonsense, because men read it like they do any other book. Well, I'm going to read this and just know it. No, if you're not led by the Holy Spirit, it's what the Spirit of God said to me, if you're not led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. Amen. You'll amount to nothing. You'll just be, you might be a nice, good, religious person, be a good person. But that's not what God's just looking for. You know, I've been reading and studying about certain people and moves of God. It astonishes me, some of the people God used in a mighty way. Because they weren't near as brighter. In fact, they believed some of the dumbest stuff you'd ever heard of. But their heart was just toward God, and they were after God, and God used them powerfully. Amen. While all these other brilliant idiots that were sitting around got all their word right, but they couldn't get anything with the move of God. It doesn't matter. It does. All this genius don't matter. It's, do I really have a heart for God? Or I just, what do I want? See, in our American culture here, it's all about gaining knowledge. It's all about, hey, the Bible tells us to, we're supposed to gain knowledge. But it's all about how genius can I get? How much can I know? That's not it. It's how much I can do. It doesn't matter what I know. Don't matter. What can I do? Oh, we know all about knowing, but we don't know a thing about doing. The doing part is the part. And we can see it throughout our culture. It's like that. Our whole culture is about, you know what, we want to pay somebody else to do something for me, or somebody else take it. Nobody wants to take care of anything, or no one to do anything. Nobody wants to learn anything for themselves to do it. You know, what they can do, they don't even want to do anymore. Nobody wants to do things. Everybody wants, well, I can just easily get somebody else to do it for me. Yeah. And you know, I could just whine enough, and then somebody will come and do it for me free. You know. See, if I refuse to spend my money, then we'll have a free thing. That's why so many people today love to be in the poorer class. Because they'll do all kinds of things. People will jump, they'll do anything for you because, oh, you poor thing. And what those people become? They just become lazier and lazier and lazier. And they'll become poorer and poorer by that. But we just give them enough money. We give them enough to keep them going and keep them going along and doing stuff for them while they do nothing. That's not good. We have a culture today. Well, why go to work? Somebody will take care of me. See how stupid it's got? You know, I couldn't believe this. If you've seen in the news that they arrested the guy here in Pennsylvania who was supposed to kill those kids out in Idaho, those college students. They arrested the guy. He's from Pennsylvania. He's a PhD student in criminology. He murdered four people. Okay, this is really getting good. But I'm going to tell you where the fault lies. First people they should arrest is his parents. They turned him into this. They went and found out about this. There's people who did start to do a study talking to other people about him. He's 28 years old. He's getting a PhD. Mom and dad are still supporting him, 28 years old. He became a vegan. And they said, now can you imagine, he made his parents get rid of all of their pots and pans because meat had been made in them. So they were stupid. They ought to have been put to sleep, those morons. You take them down to the Humane Society and put them away because they're destroying people's lives because they're idiots. These are adults doing this for a guy with a PhD, 28 years old, out of my house. The only pan you're getting is the one over your head. And we wonder why things turn out like they do. And we sit around in a stupid society of love, Christian love, creating murderers, making them. It's insanity out here, folks. How do we find our place in God and all this nonsense? You must have a relationship with God. You have to. Decision making is terrible today. People don't know how to raise kids. They don't know how to do it at all. They're afraid to ever put them out on their own because I'm going to be your God for the rest of your life and you can worship me. I got to get somebody to like me because I'm not sure if anybody does. And I just feel bad if somebody doesn't like me. So we just do things so people like me. We need to understand this. The Lord spoke to me about, one of these things we're having trouble at the end of this age. Because of the insecurity in people. They will follow the world and not God. Christians will fight because of their insecurities. Even God moves in His glory, they will not follow it. Oh, we hate to think about this. Because right now, people, we have been trained to jump through the hoop of, I have to get my need met right now. I can't feel insecure at all. My emotional needs have to be met immediately, or I might have a breakdown and I'll have to take 2 more pills so I can get myself to my emotional needs. We got to stop this stuff. We got to realize what this is. This is demonic stuff. This is demonic things. And we have to recognize it. We're over here on this side, wanting the will of God and we want the thing. We can't think like this and try to get a hold of the will of God. You can't have a move of God and you're so insecure. Because you'll think, God will say to you to do something. Gee, what are people going to think of that? Gee, I might lose my friends. Somebody isn't going to like, I'm sorry. I ain't doing that. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I have a seeker-friendly church with a seeker-friendly household and a seeker-friendly whatever it is. And we're all so friendly. We're so friendly the devil gets to live with us all the time. And he's happy. He loves it. And it's become that. We're trying to keep... there's really strange scriptures. Now, I didn't know how the Lord was going to take me this. I got all these notes. But I knew this, and I was praying this morning, and I just said, Lord, where are we going with this thing? I'd like to know. But sometimes I just got to get in and start to find out where He wants to go. You just got to get into it. Just put the waders on and go ahead. Hallelujah. You just got to do this. I want to read you a scripture here. This is from Luke, the 12th chapter. Go to Luke, the 12th chapter. The guy that said this is this real crazy guy, and his name is Jesus, when he was in the earth. This really strange man. He was the guy who was, really making friends and influencing people. Now, listen what he says. Because we're going to talk about this. One of the things we're going to, as we look into, we won't go into this week. I don't know exactly where we're going. But we're going to talk about the fire of God. What is it? We talk about the fire of God, but what really is it? What is the fire of God? What's its purpose? What does it do? Because if you read from Genesis the whole way through the Bible, it talks about the fire of God. There's all kinds of things. And dealing with the fire of God, we look at it because the fire of God brought blessing and the fire of God also brought judgment. It was the fire of God. Not today, isn't it? We don't know what it is. If any judgment comes, we don't like that, so we don't know what to call that. It's fire of God. It's the power of God working to do things in the areas of judgment. But I want you to see what Jesus said about people. I want you to think about this because, one of the things, because I want to talk about this, the Lord dealt with me because I wanted to know, where's God saying we, as here, us? Where are we supposed to be this year? I want to know where I'm supposed to be in the will of God right now. The Lord told me, He said, that's the most important thing about understanding the future is knowing where you're at now. See, don't matter, I know California's, west of here and I can get out here and road, but I have to know the highways to get there. See, it don't matter if I know it's out there, If you're like some people here, I remember watching TV one time and they asked a student, and this was in California, it was one of the major universities, and there was this girl, and she was majoring in education in geography and stuff is what she'd been doing. And she thought Montana was a country. And I thought, she a college student. Oh yeah, and she said it and wasn't even embarrassed. I thought, oh my God. She's teaching geography. I mean, she don't even know where her back door is in her house. She's not sure. She's just trying to go through the bathroom to get outside. I don't know. She just... See, this is one of the reasons why there's things you have to know where you're at to arrive to where you want to be. Just knowing that that's out there is of no help if I can't get there. This is one of the reasons why we're not seeing the move of God. Because most of the church world is not in the place they're supposed to be. And even ministers who are telling people, they don't even know exactly. They just keep calling, this thing that's come, this thing is coming. 20 years later, this thing's coming, it's there. We got to get better than this. Now, listen what Jesus says in Luke, the 12th chapter. Now, in this thing, Jesus is making his statement about his purpose in the earth. This is a phenomenal thing. Verse 49. I want you to get this because of things we'll go through. He said, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. That sounds good. Then he says, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Now listen, do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth? Can you imagine that? This is one of his teaching. Do you think I came to bring peace on the earth? My God. Do you suppose I come to bring peace on the earth? You know, we sing a song, you know, at Christmas time, and also it's from the scriptures. And we say this, peace on earth, goodwill to men. But in the literal Greek, it doesn't say that. It's cute for us. It said, peace on earth to men of goodwill is actually the Greek translation. People ain't living in goodwill. They ain't having no peace. Did Israel end up peace just because Jesus came? Did it end up? No? See, I want you to get this because, see, this whole thing started off with fire. Because we're praying, we want the fire of God, and rightfully so. We should want the fire of God. But the fire of God can really bring problems. He said, I tell you, not at all, but rather division. Fire will bring division. Oh, man. We're asking for a move of God. We want a move of God. So God, we want to move. We want the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. The faith people have taught if we have this, everything is going to go real nice. Scripture don't teach it. If you become a student of the church history and begin to look at revivals, revivals brought a lot of trouble, a lot of persecution. A lot of preachers, people tried to kill them. The devil don't like people preaching the truth. And he don't like preaching and there's fire. He likes to get rid of the fire boys. He don't want the fire people around. The people who got fire, he doesn't want them. You see, it's one of the things is understanding this is why I know when Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin in September 1950 and he made this statement. He said many of his people weren't going to be ready to meet him in his coming. Then he explained why. He said they'll turn away from the move of the Spirit. Why? Why? Fire brings division. Fire brings division. See, I was often wondered why they would turn away from the move, but now I realize looking today at America and what I've just been talking about, everybody at their comfort, I got to have everybody like me. Hey, I don't want the move of God because I have people to like me and I want to keep that going. I don't want that. I don't want that move of God stuff. That's causing problems. People are getting in trouble with that. People don't like that stuff. You think everybody's going to like healing? A lot of them ain't going to like it. Now, I remember back, when I came into the kingdom and I got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought, my words, the church world just loved this stuff. Well, a lot of the church world didn't love it. Even a lot of the Spirit-filled people didn't love it. Who had sat on the sidelines all the years talking about how they got baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1923. And so God poured the Holy Spirit out on some guys down here in the Presbyterian church, and they're mad about it. They don't like it. if that was really God, he'd be doing it in our place. Well, heck, he couldn't do it in your place for nothing. Don't you realize you're Nazareth? He can't do any mighty work there because of your unbelief. They don't know the move of God. Well, God wouldn't move. He only moves where wonderful people are. Now, Jesus will go to the gutter and he'll blow up there. He'll go to the least religious people in the Bible and he'll go and dump something out on them. Sometimes I think it's just to make these religious people mad. I think he does. But here's one thing about it. When he does that, you find out what's really in them. You'll find out what's really in you as God moves. Amen. You find out whether you really like this. You'll find out. You'll find out. You see, Jesus said, look at this thing. Do you suppose I came to bring peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. He said, for from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Oh boy, let's have a move of God. What do you think? Woohoo! But that's exactly what happened in Israel. The move of God, the Jews that followed Christ, man, their family, it got ugly. Jews would follow after the Christians. They were hauling them off and killing them in prisons. They would follow. That's who followed Paul around. Stop that crazy Jew from preaching about this Jesus. Do whatever you can to tear things up. It brought division. It's never been any different. You see, we're moving into a last day revival. And one of the things, God wants you to know the truth. Not a one-sided story for some guy talks and preaches, oh, this is all just going to be wonderful and great and it's all going to be just all glorious. No, it's not. It never has been. Persecution's always followed. I mean, Maria Eder, that woman, you know, God moved powerfully, dearly in her day because a woman was full of the Holy Ghost. My words, and God moving powerfully. Man, I'm going to tell you, there was a lot of really happy preachers about her. Not wanting to move of God. They didn't care if people got healed. They'd rather have them sick just sit in and listen to a woman preach. That's how stupid religion gets. Religion gets so stupid, it's beyond measure. And you could always run into those stupid people. They're still around like crazy. They're still all over the place. Dumb people doing dumb things. You know? That's the devil healing. And I've always said this, if the devil will heal me and God won't, I'll go to the devil. I want well. I ain't going to stay sick for God. Are you? If you go to the doctor, you're the biggest liar on the face of the earth. My God. You see, we live in a crazy world. It's made up of crazy things. And religion causes man to do crazy things. When people lose fellowship with God, there's no telling what you might come up with in your ideas. Can't do that. That's why walking your closeness with God. You have your fellowship with God and you spend time, not to spend time telling Him what you want, praying and talking to Him and asking Him what He wants. Learn to know Him. Let Him tell you stuff about Him. Let Him talk to you personally. Personally. I just heard a testimony of a guy who was a homosexual. He got born again. And he said, when I got born again, he said, a voice spoke to me and he said, He said, nobody else would have heard it. He said, it came out of me on the inside. He said, I knew it was God. And that voice spoke to him and said to him, I'm God and I'm real. And I'm going to show you and prove to you that I'm real. I'm going to change your life. Hallelujah. He said that was the most phenomenal thing that ever happened to him. He said, I knew it was God and God talked to me. See, that's the way my Christian... When I got born again, God would speak to me. I didn't have to go to listen to some preacher tell me about God talking. He was at my house. He was inside of it. He was in there talking to me. I didn't have to go to get a confirmation. I could have told better stories than the preachers were telling. What? Because he was real to me. He became real in my life, talking to me. And that's what God wants to be to each person. What good's the Holy Spirit in us You know, and God's not real. Is it just some guy because he has a ministry? Is that what this has become? For many, that's what it is. It's somebody that has a ministry. You know, I got to give to them so God takes care of me and that kind of. No, that's all the wrong reasons to do what you do. It's not faith. There's no faith in that. Thank God. I thank God for what God's given revelation to people to teach and preach. But it's got to become real to me. And that's up to me. That's not up to them. It's up to me what becomes real to me. It's not up to them. It wasn't up to Jesus. Jesus preached the same sermon in Nazareth as he did at other places. Did it make a difference? Not to them. It was up to them what they did with it. It wasn't up to Jesus. Jesus went to some places and they took it. Some places didn't. It was up to them. We've lost that today in the church. Well, if we just get a really great preacher, then it'll work for me. No, it won't. This is about you. Amen. It isn't what kind of Christian he is. I've had preachers preach that are messed up, but they said things from the Bible that were true that helped me. The truth will help you. I don't care who's in it. Up in Canada, this actually happened back in the 1940s. Up in Canada, two guys were out, they were anyhow out in the wilderness someplace, but anyhow they got themselves in a mess and ended up with no money left and no things. They needed money, and there was the area, they only had some little towns and stuff around, and there's some very small stuff. And this one guy said to the other guy, he said, when I was a kid, he said, you know, his parents went to church and stuff and things, and he set meetings. He never got saved himself, but he said, He said, we ought to go to one of these towns. And he says, preach. He said, we go preach, we can take an offering, get money. So we can go there, this town. He said, we could do that. We'll go there and we'll preach. And he said, I can do that. Look, I sat as a kid in church so much that I knew more in the Bible, about the Bible, than the Bible people did in the Bible churches. I could quote more scriptures than they could. They used to come to me to try to get me to accept Jesus, and I'd quote more Bible than they knew, and they didn't know what to do with that. Why? You can just mentally pick stuff up, and you can get stuff. But I wasn't born again. It never became real to me. And I got saved, and it's like, my God, that Bible, that stuff was good. I didn't even know it was any good. I just used it to target some Christian who was dumb. All they knew was, you know, quote some scriptures, and, you know, wasn't real much to them either. They should have been able to outquote me. The Holy Ghost should have brought him something. My word, I'm just oozing from memory. They can't even do it with the Holy Ghost. That's bad. That's bad. But anyhow, they went into a town. And they preached. And the guy preached the word. And a revival started in the town. And the whole town, they had a couple of bars and stuff. They shut down. The whole place, people got saved through the whole place. Why? Because the word works. It was the word was preached. People believed the word that was preached, and they came to Christ. They came to Christ. I listened to a story about a guy who got a minister, who was in the ministry for years, was a young boy. And a guy led his friend of his led him to Christ. They were in a meeting together. Him and his friend were both unsaved, and his friend saw that the Holy Spirit was moving on him, and his friend said to him about it, and his friend shared with him what he needed to do to get saved, and he got saved, and his friend was a sinner. And he was in the ministry for years, and he was like 20-some years in the ministry, and ran into this guy one day, and ended up leading him to Christ. Hallelujah. But a sinner, why? The word works. We don't believe. We believe in all this other junk we got today, and all this stuff and ideas and things. Man, this word works. This stuff works, and it's about us believing. It's not about somebody with some great anointing or somebody. The word's anointed. The word will work when somebody believes it. And we have this idea that if I had just had better preachers, I'd do the will of God and I could do more. You know, God sent me over to Fiji. We were supporting, our church supported, a couple were over there, and they had a church on the Fiji Islands. They had one in Spain. They moved it, started one. And the Lord spoke to me as why that church got started, and told me to go over there, and I needed to talk to the man, this one Fijian guy. Never met him in life. This was Canary Islands. In the Canary Islands. And I went over there, so I got there. God spoke, I had a vision, and I saw this guy in the vision. And the Lord told me what I'm supposed to go tell him. And I thought, I didn't even know this guy. I'd never seen him in life. I didn't know nothing about him. And so I didn't know. I got there. So I talked to the missionary who was the pastor of the church. And I told him, I said, well, now look, I'm not going to do anything unless you say, okay, I'm going to tell you what I got the Lord told me about. And it turned around. The whole thing was true. See, this guy here, God wanted him to start this church. He was living in Spain and then moved into the Canary Islands. But God told him to go and start a church. And he prayed and prayed and asked God to send somebody. He didn't feel he had to send somebody. So God sent a man over to start the church. And this missionary was supposed to leave, and he was supposed to be the pastor of the church. Well, when I talked to the missionary, this missionary knew it was time for them to be moving out. He knew it was. But this guy didn't know. And I said to him, I said, the Lord told me about him and said what he was doing. And he said, you're exactly right about this thing. I said, well, the Lord, I said, I don't know him from me. I said, I saw him. Now I was in, went down the church and he was there. And I said, I knew as soon as I saw him. I said, that's the guy I saw. That's the man. He's the one. And today he is pastoring that church. But see, what he wanted to do, God gave him something to do. And he thought, you know, if he could just get a better preacher in, it would work better. But I'm going to tell you what, God wanted him to be the pastor. You see, it's about his obedience. His obedience. See, you can run and hide from it all you want. It'll follow you around. God might put up with some of your nonsense right away, but after a while, he won't. See, he won't. That guy had to... In fact, the fact that God would send me from here the whole way over there to tell this guy. See, that's how God... See, I'm totally confident in God. And I've always said this. God will send somebody from halfway around the world to get to me to tell me something. If I'm missing it, he'll do it for me.
Amen.
Now, I don't know if he'll do it for everybody, because if you don't believe about it, it might be hard for him to do something for you. But I just believe God would do anything. I always said, if he needs to send an angel, or Jesus needs to appear himself, or I need a vision or a dream, whatever it might take to wake it up, he'll do it. He'll do whatever. And I've had some of those things happen to wake me up. So maybe, you know, you need to get say the start believing the right things, get woken up, you know. Well, see, I believe he will. He did. Concern that meant that much concerning that guy, to getting him into place. He's giving him another opportunity. I'd hate to think of what happened if he wouldn't have done that. I don't think life would have turned out good. You see, number one, he was a professional musician. I forget what instrument he played in a orchestra over there. And it was a big deal. I mean, this is one of the, Europe's was one of their better, you know. And he was, you know, he held a high position, see. But God gave him a position. And it didn't seem quite as high as the one the world gave him. Didn't seem like the money was as good. It didn't seem. See, you gotta get watch the way you think. You're the other way you're thinking that stuff. See, we're all about, if God's in it, there's gonna be a lot. Oh man, there's gonna be. No, God may put you in on the bottom. Where it may cause you to have faith to live. Oh my God, that would be an awful thought. You might have to walk by faith. I know, you guys never have any thoughts like that. I'm the weird guy that... So one thing is I learned to say, God, I'll never do that. You may be asked tomorrow. Just to break your disobedience. Hallelujah. But see, moves of God can really cause problems for people. We got to see that and understand. We want a move of God. And that's why in this last days, we're at the fulfillment of the things that the scripture talks about with the move of God. And at the same time, Satan's people getting worse and worse. We're at this thing. I'm going to tell you, people are going to act worse in these last days. They're going to act better. I'm just going to tell you that. If you believe the Republicans and about if we get Trump back in, America's going to turn around. No, it's not. I am not looking for a turnaround America. I'm looking for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The church ain't paying a bit of attention to Jesus, and they're full of politics, getting the right guy, and America's going to have this great glory. Well, we'll see. The Bible didn't say it. You can sit and say anything you want. But the Bible told how people are going to act unless they say, we're going to see. I've seen it come to pass. The Lord showed me back in the 90s when he showed me about the United States, the areas of darkness and light. What's going to happen in America? It's here. And we haven't even seen it as fullness yet. It's going to get worse. You think it's dark now? It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Places of darkness. The darkness is going to get worse. The thing is, scriptures tell us how people are going to be, what they're going to do. People of darkness. See, when the church don't walk in fellowship with God, they open the door and they let people of darkness get in the church and they start bringing that darkness to the church. And the church, after a while, is identifying with the darkness and walking in over in the darkness, joining up with the darkness. That's what's happened. We were warned that stuff about those people, ministers of Satan. They would come and break into our fellowships and into our communion service, it said. You know, they'll come, they'll play the whole game. Churches are full of them today. Churches are full of this stuff going on today that have been let in. Why? Because the church don't know God. People don't know God. It ain't about going to the right church. Those days are gone anymore. The right church. It's about you knowing God. Look at the book of Revelation. It shows the churches, the seven churches there. Some of the churches were a downright mess. But there was people in there still walking with God. They had to walk with God in the mess. You know how they did that? They stuck with God. They walked in fellowship with God. That's how they stayed. While the rest of the church followed all these sexual stuff. The church followed it, and it was all right. Jezebel running the church. We got a lot of that today. A lot of Jezebel running churches. But how do you keep following God? How do you walk? You've got to do that. You've got to stay with God. That's a choice you'll make. You'll go with the crowd or won't go with the crowd. I see it today. I mean, I run into people. I know they walk with God, but they're in bad situations with places what they're hooked up with. It ain't, but they're, I admire them in the fact they ain't changing. They're walking. They're going to follow God. The rest of the crowd ain't. But they aren't going with the crowd. See, today we have to find. See, we have all this stuff of trying to bring unity to everything. Well, Jesus don't fit. Jesus don't fit in the church today. He wasn't Mr. Unity to everybody. The Bible talks about the unity of faith. It don't talk about everybody in unity. And there's only one faith. That's faith in the Word of God. That's it. Faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Word. Hallelujah. And what His Word says. It's not getting along with everybody. It says, you know, we're supposed to get along with everybody to the best that we can. Now, sometimes you can't. But the best that you can. I don't fuss and fight with them over and that stuff. But they just know it ain't going to follow. I ain't going. I don't care what they do. I'll follow the Word. Hallelujah. You know, that's my choice. And they just love you for it too. But you got to walk in love. You got to walk in love. Got to kick it over there and don't get in the fussing and fighting with them. That's what the devil's doing today. He's got all this political fight going on out here, and the church is in it up to their neck in their political fights, and oh, they're doing this and they're doing that. You can't be busy doing that all the time and following Jesus. Can't be doing that all the time following Jesus. I'll tell you what, it takes work today to follow Jesus because there's a lot that wants to pull you off, isn't there? There's a lot that wants to drag you. There's a lot that don't want you near Jesus. They want to do that. But I'll tell you what, hallelujah, just stick with Jesus. Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't want to be afraid with people, you know, because one day we're going to have to look at the face of Jesus, the one who saved us. What are you going to say to him? And maybe even our families were more important to us than he was. What are we going to say to him? Say, no, Jesus. See, I remember having to go through that. I thought about it after, one of the things that's going into me accepting Christ was the fall. I thought, what if I accept Christ and Wanda doesn't? What happens? Especially with the courts back in those days, I'd have lost my kids. My kids would have, we'd have divorced. Guys never got their kids. Unless the woman was a hatchet murderer, maybe. But then she'd have to at least killed four people, or she'd have got the kids. Then didn't get kids. And I have to think of that. I say, well, I accept Jesus. If I accept Jesus, what if she don't? See, I think most people never thought about their salvation for 2 seconds. And they got into this thing with the idea that I'm going to get saved and just life's the same. No, it's not. I knew. I don't know why, but I knew. This is an all different life.
Amen.
This thing could blow up and be get ugly. I knew that. See, all these preachers preach this stuff like, you're going to get saved, and it's, oh, this is glorious life, and you're going to have a wonderful time, and it's going to, oh, it's so cute. Oh, it's going to be great. And then at 8. I even found there as many Christians were excited I got saved till I really started following God, and they weren't happy. When I love Jesus more than them, they, oh, I don't know about this. You must have got into some kind of strange religion. 8, Mike. We got into some kind of strange religion. But those things were going on. If you really went after Jesus, you couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. People told by a pastor that I spend too much time with God. I need to spend more time with my family. Him and his wife didn't even have a relationship. All they did was fuss and fight with it. He tells me that I should spend more time. Why, fighting? I spend time with Jesus so I learned how to act with my wife.
Amen.
You don't spend time. You don't know how to walk in love with the individual till you know Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I'm not talking about getting born again. That ain't knowing Jesus. That's just like a baby being born. A baby don't know their parents just because they got born. That's developed over time. Haven't you found that out? See, you develop that relationship is developed over time. But when I got saved, that was a big thing to me, is to find out. You know, I knew if I, what happens if things go wrong? Where am I going to stand? Where am I going to go? See, we don't preach count the cost today. See, we don't preach. These are things not preached because this don't fit the seeker-friendly church in which most even spirit-filled churches are today. They won't even preach it. They won't even talk it. They won't even talk this stuff to the Christian, the guy that's already born again. See, we need to know. I need to know as a believer. See, God wants to show me what I'm going to confront. See, there's things about the future we don't want to see. What we want to see, woohoo, this is great, Jesus coming back and I'm leaving. But I tell you what, it could be some hard spots till we come to that place. But I want to tell you what, these are places of great victory. These are the place where your heart will be drawn so close to Jesus with you'll learn to walk in these things. The man, your love and compassion and faith toward him will just be phenomenal.
Amen.
That you'll look at your own life as not worth spit compared to knowing him.
Hallelujah.
Where you won't have to, I wonder if I'd give my life to Jesus. You'd sell it out in a minute. See, to be with Jesus, I know how Paul got, depart and be with Christ is a lot better. Look at Paul. You know, do you think Apostle Paul would be liked in the church today? Not in the faith church. That man couldn't believe to stop the ship from sinking. Oh, was he supposed to? He wasn't supposed to. God told him it was going to happen. He had a choice. He's going to fight God on the thing. See, most people jump out there in their faith. Paul, if his faith could have done it, he could have sure done it. Because he spent night and day fasting and praying. And God, he fasted and prayed till an angel showed up and said, yep, I'm going to save all of you. I'm going to sink a ship. Woo! Sounds like fun. Now, Paul, tell them folks to stick with you. Because whoever sticks, I'm saving you. You know, I want you to understand this. God wasn't saving them. He was saving Paul. And whoever would stay with Paul would end up saved.
Amen.
He did that with Noah's family.
Uh-huh.
Stick with the guy. Stick with the guy that knows you can get blessed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, the Lord told me, he said, I was alive because of my dad. Hallelujah. See, somebody else could save you. Be smart enough to stick close to somebody. Somebody knows God Don't be the idiot that runs around and criticizes them.
That's right.
Because you're an idiot if you do. Stay close. You might get saved. Stay close. You might get delivered from something evil going on. Paul said, God said, you tell them if they stick with you, they'll be all right. So they couldn't jump in their own little boat in their own and decide to do whatever they were going to do. They were going to, you know, God required some faith on their part. Do you see what God did? See, God is always requiring faith. That gets to be an ugly thing. See, that's why when you know Him, it becomes, I always thought with Paul, God tells Paul, this angel shows up to the message from God to tell him, did Paul get all upset? Well, man, I want the boat on the shore. I don't want to sit down. Paul said, well, that's what we're going to do then. This is it. He goes, tells everybody. He didn't go back and say, let's fast and pray some more and see if we can get somebody to set a cruise liner past here and we could get on board something a little bit bigger than this. Something that's got a pool and a few other things that we could just, you know, sit around and relax on. Because we've had a hard time all these days. We've been out here for weeks on this thing. You know, this is bad. And God said the boat's going to be pulled out from under us. Oh, man of faith. Hallelujah. I'm sailing with Paul. Hallelujah. Okay. But Paul prayed till he heard from God. See, that was the most important thing. Paul could have stood on his own faith and died with all of them. But Paul prayed till he heard from God. There's no way Paul could have died. He heard from God and believed it. God bought a great salvation. God in a boat and sunk the boat in a terrible storm where everybody normally drowns. You all drowned. You ain't making it. The boat out from under you and you're on a reef? Have you ever seen a storm and what happens with reefs? You ain't ever been nowhere in the water. Do you see that happen? Everything gets torn up. People, hey, they die. You know, you think of how many ships. I mean, you go down along just in Florida and down through the Keys and then go down through the Bahamas, those places, and there's reefs down there. All the ships that sunk and all the lives have been lost down there in those places. I mean, them big steel ships. They were running around a little wooden boat. Hallelujah. God did a mighty miracle. Glory to God. Saved all their lives out of that thing. That's a miracle in itself. All those lives were saved out of that storm. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Have you had a storm? do you ever feel like you've been in the water? Hallelujah. You know, I just started this year, you know, and this isn't a bad confession, but it's sort of been like, well, whatever could go wrong is going wrong. If it could go wrong, it seemed like it is. But you know, this is the whole thing. I ain't unhappy at all.
Amen.
I'm not allowed to go there. I'm not allowed to go there.
That's right.
I'm not allowed to go there because if I go there, I have to do it in unbelief and that's a sin. I have to sin to go there. I will not sin against God. I will not sin against the Word. Whatever goes wrong, I've got to stand. Whatever goes wrong, I'm going to have to keep a smile. I'm going to have that joy and peace that passes all understanding. And my flesh is saying, what's wrong with you, you idiot? What's the matter with you? Don't you see what's happening to you? Don't you see? And then you have the devil. You get a duet, you know. You get your flesh, and then you got this harmonizing duet with the devil coming. What good's your faith doing? Things will keep happening to you. If God really loved you, nothing would be going wrong, would it? What is wrong with your faith, Ed? And I just smile and say, praise God, He's taking care of me. Oh, they hate that. The devil hates that.
Hallelujah.
And my flesh hates it sometimes too. My flesh gets upset and quits talking to me. He's an idiot. He won't listen. If he had any sense, he would be listening to me. I'm too far gone. Let me alone. They won't even put me in a hospital. too far. They can't help. It's too far. He's gone. He's too far. There's no help anymore. He's still smiling. This is why you can never tell who is in really deep problems lots of time or not. You can't always tell. I've run into people, when I found out what their problems were, I was ashamed of myself. I was like, oh my God, if I made a complaint, who am I to complain? You run into people. But they didn't wear it on their shoulder. You know, they didn't have it right out there in everybody's face. And running into everybody they can and say, pray for me, pray. But a lot of times, people are looking for sympathy. That's what they want. They want sympathy. I want delivered.
Amen.
I'm interested in deliverance. When I got born again, God delivered me from alcohol like that. I was an alcoholic. No desire to drink. The Lord spoke to me and said, do you notice you don't need to drink anymore? And I thought, wow, that is a phenomenal. I had known that for years. He delivered me. I didn't have to drink anymore. To me, that was such a huge thing. See, maybe want somebody else in. But you don't like when you're really bound into something. And I could never see myself free of alcohol. I could never see myself. No matter how I tried to get away from it. I was bound. I had a demonic problem. It was demons. And you need to know that's what you're dealing with. Lots of times people with alcoholics, you're dealing with demons. All we're dealing with, go to a meeting. Yeah, go to a meeting and everybody else got the same devil you got. And you sit there with each other and tell each other with all the problems you're having. Dear God! Say, nobody else is going to get to talk. My list is too big about all the problems. And we're all going to sit and we're going to do this. And we're going to leave as bound as we were when we got there. But that isn't what Jesus did. See, today, we have the Spirit-filled 12-step program churches. 12-step programs to get out of sin. Jesus said, I was free.
Hallelujah.
When the son sets free is free indeed.
Hallelujah.
You see, any drug addict, if you preach to them that they're free, well, no, we won't do that. What if he don't get free? That's right. So let's preach a real cheap gospel. You know, a nice gospel. We wouldn't tell them. No, the son sets free is free indeed. And I got, I would use drugs and stuff, but drank. Mostly I drank. I'd gotten away from pretty much the drug stuff. But so I had no, I never fought with turning it. To me, that was a great marvel, to not fight to stay away from something. I didn't have to stay away from it. I mean, I had no desire to have it.
Amen.
To me, that was downright miracle.
Amen.
See, when the son set free, it was free indeed. Wow. When I got born again, that demon left. The stuff that's preached today, demons can stay. The salvation today is, ask Jesus, see, you get, he'll save you, but see, you still stay with all the troubles and problems. And they still, run you down and that stuff, and you got to have a program, and you got to, try to work through. And we're trying to, all I needed was revelation.
Amen.
That's all I needed was revelation. And that was the big thing, and I started doing. The Lord told me, start getting Kenneth Hagin tapes at that time, and I'd get tapes, and I'd sit and listen to him. And the more revelation I started getting as I listened, I started reading my Bible. I started reading. He would teach stuff, and I'd get my Bible. And I'd go in my bedroom, and I'd take the Bible in, and I'd tape, and I'd read. Man, I'd read these things, and I'd find myself, I'd do this. And I'd do this all the time. I get studying, and I can get off, and I'm like sort of Alice in Wonderland. I fall down a deep hole. Because I see things and I think, oh, that's neat. Next thing I find I'm just studying something I didn't go to study. Well, now I'm over here. Oh, no, I got to get back over to this. Because I see, wow, that was really. Oh, look at that hooks up with this over here. Let me get. Hallelujah. That's the word. That's the word. Wanda came last night. I was sitting on the garden studying. She asked me if I did a certain thing. And I said, no. I said, I got studying here and I sort of got lost. I sort of went out here. I sort of left. So I said, honey, I'll take care of that. Okay, I'll get down. But you know what? That's what the word ought to be. The word is incredible. It is so rich. I have never known from the time that I got born again that the word didn't speak to me. That wasn't really good. When I started looking at it, I thought, I'll always find something else. There's always something else.
Amen.
You know, I've had God already have me, and I opened the Bible to a certain thing and an answer I needed. But I tell you what, I can find an answer any place in the Bible. I open it up and I see something that's like, wow, this is really good. I mean, I'm serious. I can go over to Numbers and I can get revelation reading down through all those names. And I'm serious because you go down through there and find, hey, that guy was tied to this. What about the scripture says over here? And then you go, revelation starts coming. Hallelujah. And it should be like that. It should be to us. Because these words are Jesus speaking to us. We're going to talk next week. We're going to talk and go over the areas of the revelation that what God had given me back in 1991, back in the spring of 1991, April 15th, 1991. I've preached on this before from 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. Because the Lord took me back there about things because that deals with fire. There's two things that took place. The Lord dealt with me before about this, but he took me over, got me into a little bit more teaching. Took me over to studying some different things. But there's two things and events that happen with Elijah and the fire of God poured out. And you need to know this. The fire came first and then the rain. See, the Bible says in the time of the latter rain, pray for rain. But that doesn't mean just cause we're toward the end, it's time for the rain like we'd like to see it. And I don't mean it's the time right now. Right now, we need the fire. And we'll explain why we need the fire. First of all, the fire was to turn the hearts of God's people back to him. God will always give. This is what God did to Israel. You'd find the pattern in the Bible. God came. God knew that Israel was going to reject him. The scriptures even tell us, it's prophesied, he came to his own and his own received him not. But God nonetheless came to Israel and gave him a call. God is going to put out a last call to the church. I'm just going to say this to you. Some people have already had their last call, and I'm talking about Christians. God ain't going to talk to them no more about it. He has been trying to deal with them. See, there's many people in the Christian church that, you know, they're not ignorant because they don't, you know, they know what to do. So many people don't know what to do. They don't know it. You know, it's like Jesus. He had compassion on the people because he said, look, they were shepherds. You know, they're sheep with no shepherd. He saw that. Today we have that a lot in the body of Christ. God's going to call to them. There's leaders he's not going to talk to anymore about making a change. He's not going to talk to them anymore. They're just like the leaders were back then. They have a good system that they run on, and they like it. It works well for them, just like the leaders did back then. There won't be a call to them. Some of them he's been talking to for years. But they gather groups around them that really like them and really want it. They become popular in groups of ministers. They become very popular. God talking to them and they don't make a move to get in line with what God's saying. And so there's ones who have already lost the anointing. People don't even notice. Well, you know, you get over and you've been preached to and you sit in the church all the years, know somebody, no anointing, you wouldn't know if there was one there or not. You wouldn't know. You just things you do. It's like we're in today is like ministers who were spirit-filled, and now their churches, you don't have any more altar calls, you don't have any more healing of people, or so you don't want to have none of that in your church. You want anybody to do none of that in your church anymore. God won't put up with that. Jesus said, I'll forgive you of everything, but the Holy Spirit won't. You ain't going to designate the Holy Spirit to a back room somewhere and him like you. Amen. He ain't going to like you. He ain't going to like you. See, we've done that today. See, the fire today in the church, we're going to find this out. We're going to go through Scripture. The fire today in the church is about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the gifts. That's what it's about. And there's ones that are going to reject it. Many will reject that. People who even walked in it will reject it. Many have already rejected. Like Randall Greer had a minister tell him, he said, I can reach more people without... Now, this is a guy who was filled with the Holy Ghost. He's a Rhema graduate. He had in his church used to have moves of the Spirit and stuff. He said, I can reach more people without that stuff. Oh, he's reaching people, but not for Jesus. He's filling a building.
Amen, that's right.
See, we found out how to do that today. I get these things all the time. See, as a minister, I get these things that tell you how to grow your church. And you're lucky. You can sit down and read page after page of their stuff, and you're lucky if you ever see Jesus mentioned one time. How to fill your church. We got a program. How to psychologically get people.
Yeah,
how to save them psychologically. Oh, they'll end up in hell. They won't be born again. They're going to be lost for eternity. But we can psychologically know how to manipulate them and get them to come and do what we want. This stuff all the time, they're doing these things. My God, they'll send you these things, the sermons that you can do to reach people. Jesus ain't even mentioned. All this kind of stuff. Guys come along and they go to your church and they pay these guys to come in. There's the companies. See, it's full of this stuff of companies out here. And what they do, these people take these business principles. They begin to do this stuff. This was done back in the 1980s when I came in the kingdom. They were doing it then and are doing it now. Using business principles. Guys who worked in business and that stuff and went to business meetings and how you do things. So you bring it over to the church and now you use it and how this is how companies develop and grow. So they get that and they find those things and they bring them in and this is how the principles, you use these principles and this is how you can get people in and make things work and all that kind of stuff. One guy got really big with that stuff, got enormous and all the books he wrote and all his followers on it. And you know where he's at today? He don't even minister in churches anymore. He's out in the business world. Well, I'm glad the devil took him there. I just hope people are smart enough to burn his books. I was criticized because I wouldn't read his books. I was criticized by spirit-filled people, even from Rhema, who criticized me. Oh, you need them. These are good books. Some of those people, they ain't even in the ministry today anymore. They're gone. They followed them. And they found out, I can make a lot of money doing this. Go over in the business world. If Jesus is in it, you're going to get closer to Jesus. If you ain't getting closer to Jesus, it ain't God. It ain't God. See, I watched all this stuff come along, and I watched all the new books come out with a new idea. And I watched people, they read, this is great. And, you know, for a few months, everybody's following, and this is wonderful. And the next thing you know, they're back just living the same old godless life that they did before following God. God, if it's God, it'll change you. It'll make you into something. When I got saved, it changed me forever. It didn't change me for a few weeks. It changed me long enough that my wife said, I'm living with a different man. Hallelujah. You know, she said, that guy's a homosexual. He's a different man. He said, I'm not involved in sexuality. He said, I knew from that day when I got saved, homosexuality was wrong. And he said, I haven't touched in it since. Hallelujah. And we got men who say they're saved and they're in the pulpits are homosexuals. Well, I know this, they ain't saved. They ain't going to change. God gave them a revelation. It isn't sin. This guy got saved, and a preacher didn't have to tell him it was sin. He got saved, and he said, I don't know. I just knew it was wrong, and I wasn't supposed to do that anymore. When I got saved, I knew there's things I couldn't do anymore. Nobody had to come and tell me. Nobody had to tell me I couldn't cheat on my wife. Nobody told me I wasn't supposed to steal no more. I had a conscience now. If people get saved and they do all this stuff, they need to be taught. No, they need to get born again. Amen. This religious junk don't work. Hallelujah. Getting Jesus in your mind. No, get him on the inside. Amen. Get that new spirit with the Holy Ghost in it. That'll change you.
Amen.
That's what we need to do. Hallelujah. This move of God is coming is going to be that. And I'll tell you what, there's going to be a lot of people upset over this. There's a lot of Christians, they're going to like this because they're going to criticize us. They're going to run us down because we're dividing people up. No, Jesus is. No, if you love people, you embrace them all. Why? Jesus don't, I'm not.
Amen.
Jesus didn't embrace me until I embraced him. See, we need to know there's division that's coming. Don't be afraid of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because the glory is going to be greater.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We get to walk in the glory. We get to live in the glory. We're going to walk and live in the rain. And there's people, hallelujah, that are going to come from afar to walk in this thing.
Amen.
The Lord said to me, from this valley here, when he spoke to me back in the early 1980s, I'm walking the streets of Lebanon. He said, people will come from afar. They'll come from the north, the south, the east, the west. He said, they will come to walk in the glory of the light of that's going to come through this valley. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. It's not going to be all Pennsylvania. See, if people prophesy like this is all going to take place all over the United States, no, it's not. You mark my word on it. You mark my word that people would say they can prophesy any old thing they want to prophesy or say whatever they want to say. It's not going to be. But there's going to be places of great light. We're already having in our nation, 40,000 people left Pennsylvania last year. They're getting out of town. They are. Their areas are getting out. But they're getting out of the areas of darkness. They're leaving the places of Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and those places. They're getting out of them. They're leaving them. They're not moving to them. They're not moving to the cities of darkness. People are leaving. New York, I guess, California, I guess, has lost the most. They've lost hundreds of thousands have left. New York has lost a lot. People are leaving the place of darkness. They're leaving. Won't live in the darkness no more. They're not going to live in the places. Why? God's calling people. The funny thing about it is, most of these are all sinners. But God's getting a hold of moving them into places. See, there's a move of God going on that the Spirit-filled church don't see. This bothers me. We should have been first on the list to see it. The Lord spoke to me this back. Little old Ed Gibson spoke to me about this would happen back in the early 1990s. He told me this would happen. How come these guys don't know? I will tell you why they don't know. They get stuck on a path, on a message. And they pump that thing and they pump that thing and they pump. And they don't ever go to God and say, God, what about this? What about this stuff? Where does it fit? I learned from a thing because when I read John G. Lake, that really helped me. Because, see, I've always been a questioner. And I'm going to tell you what, that in the church world, that's not a popular person to be. In the church world, to be a questioner, you're just supposed to take everything as word. Because, see, you got to do everything you can to tiptoe around and keep everybody happy. That's what you got to do. And especially the leader, don't question. Don't ask a question because, my words, they might have to give an answer they never knew anything about and acted like they did. That'd make them nervous. But I was always quite a John G. Lake said when I read the thing and he said, I didn't want to know that God healed. I wouldn't know how he did it. Well, John G. Lake got revelation because he began to question God about how and why he does things. He didn't want to know I'm just going to walk by faith that he does it. I want to know. See, I found out because I had this problem. I was a questioner and I saw, this guy here, he wants to know why. I thought, I was glad to hear that. Because that's not a popular place to be, to stop down and say, man, I need to know. Things ain't going, See, when I first got saved, I started hearing all these people, they were talking. When I first got born again in 1980, people were talking about Jesus coming back. You'd have never thought we were going to get out of 1980. I would have thought Jesus was coming back. I got born again in January, and I figured by December I wasn't going to be here. Well, they were talking about it. I started listening to people. But I had enough, from just reading the Bible generally, just sitting down and reading it, and I had reading through some of the things, and I read some of the things that Jesus said about during the tribulation period, and I would hear ministers say things, and they would pull these out and talk about the church, and I'd say, well, it's obvious, this is talking about the tribulation. They're saying we're not going to be in the tribulation, yet they're using tribulation scriptures to talk about the church being on. Where it says, you don't know the day or the hour. That wasn't spoken to the church, that was spoken to the Jews in the tribulation. Lightning from east to the west. That wasn't spoken Jesus coming back for the church. That's Jesus coming back and standing on the Mount of Olives at the eastern gate. He's there, he's come down, he touches the Mount of Olives, and the Bible says that there's a great earthquake. And there's a road, a flat road, right in through the eastern gate into this temple. So that's where he's going. Well, but these guys would turn around and use, well, Jesus is coming like lightning on the east to west. I say, how can this stuff be? These people are saying these things. I tried to talk to some people because I'm a young Christian. I don't know, but I just, well, you can't talk to them about it because, so-and-so's on television and he teaches that, see, and he knows more. He's the master at this thing. He's the guru. See, he the guy that got it all. It couldn't be you. But I said, but the Bible said, he said. So I got tired of this because I found out the people who followed never read for themselves. All they did was listen. His books are what counted. Well, I'm going to tell you, the whole thing of it is, he might have a lot of true things in the books, but you need to be able to glean between the hay and the sticks. You've got to learn how to do that. I learned that from Kenneth Hagin. Have enough sense as an old cow, eat the hay and leave the sticks. How many of you have you ever ate some sticks? I did. I ate some sticks already. And the sticks always cost me. They stick in there. And you're, anyhow. The sticks never work well. But I went to the Lord one day and I said, Lord, I ain't going to listen to anybody else teach on the end times. I said, I don't want to hear nothing about it. I said, I've heard so many crazy things and things that are said. I said, things that can't be proved by the Bible, they're saying. I said, how would we know that it's true? I said, the Bible doesn't talk about it. Well, God told me. Well, that's nice and God told you something, but there has to be a scriptural basis for it. Where's that principle in the Word? Well, you can't find it in there. And after all these years, we found out it wasn't in there. Had nothing to do with it, and it didn't work. But I said, Lord, I'm not listening to anybody else. And I made this statement. I said, they're talking about, they got 20 different ways that you're coming back. And I'll never forget this. Just as clear, inside of my spirit, rose up a voice, and it was the voice of the Holy Spirit, rose up in me and said, yeah, 19 of them are wrong too. I thought, my God, God agreed with me. Now, I found this out over there. There's people out here that have some wonderful revelation. And one of the sad things is, they're not given the big voice they should. They have some wonderful revelation out of the Bible that just be a blessing to the church. But it don't fit people's ideas. There's people out here with wonderful things of Scripture that can show you. And we want to get back. I want to know what God's doing. See, we can live some, a lot of things. People have passed on down through time. It wasn't they were wrong in everything. They had a lot of good things, but there was so much stuff in there. I don't want to be a guy in the last days yelling to people about Jesus coming back and saying, yeah, he's coming. Well, he is coming back. I mean, the Scripture tells us that. But I'm just going to tell you back, he ain't coming back this year. You mark it down in your book. You'll be here at the end of this one. You're going to be here. Mark it down. You're going to be here. Jesus ain't coming. But that, I'm going to tell you what, you better live like he is. Because there's one thing you're going to have to, or it's going to start getting tougher on people. It's not going to be easier on people as time goes. Amen. When the Lord spoke to Kenneth Hagin and said to him, he said, before things get to their worst, I'm going to take the church. Scripture bears it out. Jesus is not coming back. Everything's going to be easy and sweet. It's going to be, and we need to get a hold of that fact, folks. It being easy and sweet. It's not. Christians are going to have to walk by faith. These are the days of it. All this training and stuff, and so we're putting all this thing of listening to the Word of God. It ain't to get a new car. You're going to have to live by faith every day. There's going to be persecution coming in the church. There's persecution. It's going to come from the church. It's going to come from Christians against Christians. It's coming. I mean, it gets to its fullness during the tribulation period, where if you accept Jesus, you're going to get your head cut off. Now, do you want to stay for that one? I just want to tell you, I won't be surprised in some nations that ain't going to be going on before we leave. I would not be surprised. Wouldn't surprise me at all. There's people in America here that love to do it. There's enough here that hate you. There's enough people in our government who hate you because you belong to Christ. The spirit of Antichrist is getting stronger. It's not going to get weaker. It's going to get stronger. Let me say this. I'm going to say something to you. And see, this might go across grain, but the Lord has been dealing with me about this. Something I've never said to any, I don't tell people about. I don't ever talked about it. When I first got born again, something that the Lord said to me, and I see over time because, over the years, people are always trying to pick who the Antichrist is. And, they're always trying to do that. We've talked about this before, they're always, You look somebody. The spirit of Antichrist, even like John wrote about it in his day, the spirit of Antichrist was in the earth. You can see in people's operating in the spirit of Antichrist. So, I mean, like Adolf Hitler was definitely, he was definitely operating on the spirit of Antichrist. And one of the things you're going to find out about the spirit of Antichrist, it gets in people. Like we take President Obama, he was operating under the spirit of Antichrist. That's what he's operating under. He had a demon. He had a demon. You know, people say what they want and get mad as they want about it. You know, oh, saying a man has a demon. Well, you might have one too. You don't notice the other guy got one. You might have a problem too. But he has spirit of Antichrist. I knew about the guy. You know, he just has a spirit of Antichrist. He's operating. You know, when he got in, you know, all this stuff, he believed in the family and marriage until he got in office. It's like the devil, all of a sudden you change your mind. Now I believe in the gay boys. Yeah, that's what I believe. I knew when he got in. Well, I knew what he's going to do. He's going to be a liar because that's the spirit of Antichrist. The devil's a liar. He's a father of lies. Well, it operates in the earth, and people turn around because I hear people say, well, he's the Antichrist, and they started on that stuff and all that. He ain't the Antichrist. See, how do you know? Because if he was, God would have told me. He's not. Shall I tell you what? When the Antichrist comes, and I'm going to let you know something. The church, before they leave, is going to know who the Antichrist is going to be. The church is going to know. He ain't going to be in power. He can't get into the fullness of his power. But much in the church, well, I won't say everybody in the church, but there's going to be people in the church who are going to know. They're going to know who the Antichrist, they're going to know who, you know, because we're seeing now things shifting around and things going on. And when it rises up, we're going to be able to see, because there's going to be a following to it. It's going to, folks, it doesn't have, when a church leave, it ain't like a throwing a switch and all of a sudden and this stuff, because this stuff's going to be here. Because I tell you, see, this is what the Lord said to me. And I'm not sure exactly what all of it. I didn't really talk to him a lot about this. But he said this to me right after I got born again. And he said this to me. And I always wondered about it. And I never talked to it about people because you don't talk about this in the church because it don't fit our doctrine. Do you realize that we're still here has not fit much of the doctrine of the church on the church leaving? It hasn't fit. But the Lord said this to me, and I don't know why. And maybe I ought to ask him what it's about or some things. He said, hey, wait till he tells me. I don't know. But he said, just as clearly, he said to me, the Antichrist is going to know who you are. Well, it don't surprise me. But that doesn't mean I'm going to be doing something to him. I'm not going to read anything into it other than he said, I'm not going to go to say what that thing was about. But he said, now, he told me that back when I first got born again. It was only a month or two after I was born again. He said, he's going to know who you are. And I thought, then I'd hear people teach about the Antichrist and he can't come to power. We're not going to know who he is. And then I thought, well, why is everybody trying to figure out who he is? If we're not going to know any of this stuff. And I always thought it was strange. And when I heard Kenneth Hagin, then I heard the prophecy he had. And then he made the statement before things get to their worst. And I thought, boy, that sure don't fit. I said, everybody said, oh, they're cheering Brother Hagin on like crazy. This guy here is a message of faith, but we ain't going to pay any attention to this prophecy because it's not neat. It's not fun, and we're jumping over pews about this. Many of my people were. And see, then the teaching went from the book of Thessalonians to the teaching about, and said, well, you know, that when we're talking about the catching away and all that stuff, they said, well, you know, it's going to be the church, and it's not going to be, because the word that is used there is talks about a great falling away, or an apostasy is the Greek word apostasy, which is a fall away. They said, well, it could mean the catching away or catching away. And so everybody began to teach, well, that means catching away. I mean, the Amplified Bible had there a could, that could be a rendering of the word. But one of the problems you have with that, it doesn't fit in any place else in the Bible with its usage. So it becomes a hard thing to. So, and even looking at letters and that stuff, they take things about writings, you look at that stuff. But it doesn't matter, it's one thing. Because why? The church could not believe. See, the faith people could not believe that people would fall away. Well, I can understand the statement. I got saved. Man, such changed my life. But I knew people got really changed life, and today they don't walk with God. They had really changed lives. But they went away. See, we got over into things. And people said, well, if they really had a changed life, they wouldn't have fallen away. Well, that's not true at all. A person can choose what they want. You get away from the things of God. You get over fleshly in the world. Don't be surprised yourself. You find yourself wanting less and less of God. You can go to that place. But see, I understand how people got there because, see, and really, rightfully, we were taught about faith. Well, why would somebody... Well, a person never intended to leave. But you start getting away from the things of God. You start hearing, it's like Paul writes to the church in Galatia. He starts preaching another Jesus. What do we have? We got a lot of preaching another Jesus today. People are sitting under this. It's slowly pulling them away. It slowly pulls them away from faith. So as he pulls them away, we got another gospel. We got another one. You don't have to repent anymore. See this? No. You can live in sin. You're forgiven of everything that you would ever do. You're automatically forgiven. You don't have to repent. That is a doctrine taught today in many churches. They followed after that. You don't have to. Because everybody's forgiven of everything. See, when you start hearing those things, it's easy for people to start. They start listening to things. They get drawn away. Well, see, at the time when we saw these things, we didn't dream that day. See, we didn't know that day was coming down there. For number one, they told us that it's going to get better and better and better. And it's going to get so good. And then in the late 80s, they started teaching the kingdom now. Oh, we're going to take over the whole world. We're going to take over all the businesses. And we're going to do all this stuff. And we're going to turn it over to Jesus when he comes back. I heard about when he comes back, why would he going to be turning over? But when he sets foot on this earth, he's going to have to take it back with a rod of iron. That's what I read. I didn't read with the church. But see, people taught those things, and followers followed that and gulped that stuff up. It sounded wonderful. But see, when you hear those things, what happens? It leads people astray. It leads them away from the truth. Now try to come and bring them something else. You know, when you've only fed them, if you only fed your kid ever ice cream, try to give them broccoli. Now, the broccoli wouldn't be good for them, but, and that's many Christians, they have been fed candy for so long, it's hard to give them what they need to grow.
Amen.
It's hard to give it to them because they choke on it right away. You know, Paul talked about choking on meat. I mean, we choke on peas in the church today. We're not choking on meat. We choke on peas. And so we need to understand it. See, people get slowly... It doesn't happen quickly. Slowly over time, wrong doctrine gets in, and wrong doctrine. See, and that's our safety. When you stay with the Word, you can have wrong doctrine preach around you, and this, but if you stay in fellowship with God, you don't have to fear none of that. You'll know. I've always known to stay where I was at.
Hallelujah.
Because there's one thing I trusted. I'd go talk to God about it. If I had people were going off to something, I don't care how good it sounded, and they may have been right. But if I didn't know, I didn't believe, chase it till I knew what God was saying about it.
Amen.
Somebody might say something that's right, but I'm not chasing it. There's been too much today that has been said wrong. Too many false prophecies over the years. Too many. We'll talk about some of those things that are prophecies that line up with the Word of God that have been given that are good for us, and we can understand some things that are happening and going on out here. I will tell you this. There is a revival. And there is darkness to a higher degree. America, and I'm just telling you this, America is not going back to what it was. It will not happen. I don't care what political party tells you, whatever. They can say what they want. They can take Congress, they can have the whole thing, and it will not go back to what it was. It's not going. The Bible's right. God's right. Now, say, well, you preach in doomsday? There is a doomsday coming. It ain't mine. And it ain't yours if you don't want it. But there is a doomsday coming for many people. And it's a doomsday. And we're supposed to be... I am a flagman. I don't just get to wave at certain cars. You know who the guys that are the hardest to slow down? Are the ones many times say they're Christians. You can't get them to stop. It's easier sometimes to get the sinner to stop than it is the Christian. Because I have my beliefs, man. And I'm just revving on. It's like, hold it, hold it, hold it. I just want us to understand is how much we need Jesus. How much we need His wisdom. Going through these things, I've just, you know, God, He's corrected me on things and given me insight onto things. And I think about it, I thought about, boy, man, Lord, we've gotten out ahead of you. We haven't backed up to see, hey, you know, I need you to talk to me on some of these things. I need to see what's going on. I need to see what's happening. I need to find my place. Don't you folks, you want to get into His perfect will, don't you? And see, I want you in His perfect will. See, I can't put you in His brain. What He's called you to do and what your place. There's things about you, it's personally about you. Nobody's going to have the same personality. Ain't everybody knows it all. No, you know, one in a bunch knows all. There's things we just downright, we don't know. There's things we have glimpses of. There's things some maybe that we have more insight on too than others. It might have seen. But one thing, I want to know what Jesus is saying in our time. I want to know what He's talking about. We're going to talk about some people as we go along here, people who God used in a powerful way, but really some things they were pretty far off base at. But there was things that they did have a hookup with God on, and it blessed Christianity. And so we in the same way. God don't use you because you're just so smart and cute and know everything. See, that's one of the great faults we have right now in the church world. This is what religion will do. Religion will start this, and I already see it in groups, and I see good ministers falling into this thing. Because what happens, we see so much sin going on out here, and even in the church world, there's so much going on that isn't good. And we don't want it to go on, but what they get preaching, well, we can have a move of God if everybody just gets acting right, and we all just, you know, believe in the same thing. We can just all get fixed, and we can all just, we got to be very careful. Look, we want to get our lives straightened out. But God don't use me because I'm so straightened out. God uses me because He chose. I don't get it why. I can give you more excuses why He shouldn't. But nonetheless, and it's with you too. What it is, God looks at your heart, your desire for Him and your love for Him. He'll let you approach Him just on that basis. Because He said, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you knock, it'll be open to you. He didn't say, well, if you get everything right, you get everything perfect, then you can come and ask me. We're almost having some of that stuff starting to be touched in the church. And it's you know what? It's as bad as the sloppy grace. You got to get perfect for God to use you. You got to get everything right and everything. You don't want to go to that ditch. You don't want to go to that place. Because that's as bad as the sloppy grace. The reason I go after God, because I downright need Him. I don't know it all. I need help. I'm not perfect. He is. I tell Him all the time, I'm so glad I have Him because He's perfect. Ah, God, You're perfect. You had come and talk to and get an answer from. If I get an answer from You, You're perfect. You'd never give me a wrong answer. Now, there's people who will give you a wrong answer, but they don't try. They think they're giving you the right answer. Men can do that. We can do that to each other. God don't ever do it. We have one we can trust.
Hallelujah.
You have one who will never give you a wrong answer. Hallelujah. But He will give you an answer, and you can find Him in the book. He always shows me through the Word. Why? He's the author of the book. Why would He write a book and not put it in there? Why would He do all that with the book? Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When we were having worship this morning, the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to me about something, and I just wanted, is there anybody this morning here, you're having an area of a health problem? You have something that you're dealing with that you want to be ministered to? Is anybody you're dealing with something that you want to be ministered to? Now, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not calling anybody up front. That's not what the Holy Spirit said to do. But I want to know, if you need minister to in anything, God wants to minister to you. He spoke to me this morning, and well, He had spoken to me last night about some things I didn't know He wanted to do this morning, but He does it. And you don't have to be ashamed. I mean, if you do, you have something that you want. You want anybody wants it, just raise your hand where you're at. Hallelujah. Well, nobody raised their hand. Hallelujah. We're all healed, delivered, set free. Glory to God. Well,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Now I want to. Now. Okay. We had our sister here. She said about her back and her. See, and this is anybody else. See, we're in this. One of the things the Lord dealt with me because of the one of the most wonderful things that we have is this. And I want you to get a hold of this. This is what the Lord spoke to me to us with His people. God raises up ministries in the church, and He raises up people, and people minister to people. We know the gifts of the Spirit go into operation; those kind of things go on. But the Lord spoke to me last night. I spent some time praying, and He spoke to me about healing in the church for the believer. We're believers here. We're all Christians here. We're believers. So you have the Spirit of God in you, same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Is quickening your mortal body.
Amen.
And he talked about, because see, sometimes we need to come around just reminding. We may know these scripts things and we can turn around and quote them. But the Bible, you know, the Bible tells us in Mark 11:23, it tells us there that if we believe something in our heart and we don't doubt it and we say it, it'll happen. That's what it says. In other words, the authority that's given. Now understand, he spoke that to people. Those guys at that time, these were men who living under a covenant, that the old covenant, they were living. But he spoke that to them. They weren't born again or saved, and he told them they could do that. See, under the old covenant, Jesus was operating as a man. He spoke to a tree and it died. He did that as a man. He didn't do it as God. He did it as a man. So he's proving that thing works. See, that principle works. And then he turns around and adds to that, and talks about praying. He said, when you pray, what are you supposed to do? You believe you receive it, and you'll have it. You believe you receive it. Now, what we're doing is believing the Word. And the Lord talked to me about this. It's one of the things He wants to... I've been talking about that some, but He wants you to get it here. If you're dealing with something in your body, when you're dealing with the Word, you're dealing with Jesus. See, we think about believing the Word as just some words on a page. No, this is about Jesus. This is believing Jesus. To not believe the Word is not to believe Jesus. Now think about that. Now just think about, think of power of this Word. This is not, this don't criticize anybody. Think about the power of these words. When you believe the Word, you're believing Jesus Christ Himself.
Why not?
He is the Word. You're believing Jesus Himself. That's why unbelief or not believing the Word is a sin. It's not to believe Jesus. See, it isn't just about some words on a page. We need to know something. The Bible to us is far beyond words on a page.
Amen.
It's about who lives in us. It's about the belief that we have in the One. And He wants you to know this today. But see, the Scripture's correct. The Scripture tells us we have healing in us. In other words, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Now you have that. That Spirit who quickens or makes alive your mortal bodies. Now that's to all of us. So that's to you. You have that. The Scripture always also tells us the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Jesus fulfilled that. He's the one who took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now Jesus said He did that. Meditate on that. Think of that fact. He said He did that. He already took your infirmities and bore your sickness. He already did it. Now, is do this. Don't matter what's happened in the past and what's going on. Just forget about that. Think of, keep yourself on the Word right now. Right now, where you're at. Right now. See, that's what He wants you to do. See, it's about Jesus now. You know, if you missed it before, you're allowed to repent, then you forget it. He did. So get over it.
That's right.
You know what? It's a sin for you to carry it around. It is a sin for you not to believe He forgave you. It's not to believe Jesus. If Jesus said, I forgave you, and you walk around like He didn't, that'd be a lie. That'd be saying, Jesus, you're a liar. You didn't do that. See, God's been dealing with this, about this Word. This is Jesus. This is Jesus speaking to you. This is Jesus talking one-to-one to you. Now, it don't get any better than this. Jesus. And this is what He wants to get across. He's talking to me about this. He said, my people in faith has been rough because people, they're just trying to believe the Bible. But He said, I'm the Word. I'm the Word. I'm the Word. He said, this is about Me. It's not just about words on a page. This is about Me. See, this is about Him. This is about Him and you.
Hallelujah.
He did all this for you. 1 Peter 2:24 is another fulfillment of Scripture from Isaiah. Another fulfillment. By his stripes you were healed. You were. We're on the past tense side. Ha! That's what Jesus... You know, Jesus said... Now, whoever here today, if you have something, you didn't raise your hand. Jesus said you were.
Praise God.
Jesus said... Now, just think about it. Jesus is saying to you today, you were. Jesus is. Jesus is saying to you, you were. Oh, what a Jesus we got. Jesus said you were. Jesus said, I put the Holy Spirit in it to quicken. See, that's what's really made the Holy Spirit does. He quickens and makes alive the Word to us. And it brings life to us, to the mortal body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, is there anybody here you don't have a mortal body? You don't belong here. We have mortal bodies. And you know what? My mortal body is decaying. It is. My mortal body is decaying. See, and now you know what? I found this out, and I want to let you guys know this. Oh, you think you're younger, and you just got it made in the shade. Wait till you find out your body's decaying. Where do you find it out? And you ain't been walking in faith. You'll find out quickly. You wish you would have. Because now you're trying to make this thing work. And you ain't happy about it. That's why most older people don't do well. Because what happens, they never learn to walk by faith. And then they come around and get older. And what happens, their body is decaying. You'll get in this thing good now. Get in and learn how to walk in this thing now. Hallelujah. Because you're young, you just, everything's just peaches and cream. And it's just going to be wonderful like this for the rest of your life. And I ain't never going to get, I've heard people say, I ain't never going to get old like them. And, you know, they say that stuff. And then I look and see their funeral. And they're, no, it ain't going to ever happen to me. Hallelujah. Well, till Jesus comes back, and if he tarries, there'll be a day that he don't have to worry about me trying to stay in faith to say, if stay here, I'll say, it's going. It's leaving.
Amen.
It's leaving. Hallelujah. I'm almost there with Paul now. Depart and be with Christ will be far better. Hallelujah. I ain't got no big ego about it. I just got to get a body. You know, we'll get it. I'll get it. I'll get it before you will if I leave. That's right, because the Bible says if people come back, they get it first. Then the ones are right. So if I leave, I'll get one before you do. So... Hallelujah. The Word. See, Jesus wants you to be happy. And He does. He wants you to be happy. See, as you think of today, His Word, He says to you today, I'm healed. And that's what He wants you to believe. He wants you to start, praise God, He healed me. See, that needs to get on your lips. I'm not trying to get God to heal me. You're not trying to get God to heal you today. You're not trying to do that. Jesus said Himself you are. Amen. Jesus. Jesus said today that you're healed. See, your body might say, well, boy, your body will talk to you. You'll get the devil to come, and you might find some other people who will come and say, but you know what? I'm serious. Jesus. See, you can literally say, and it's not any kind, Jesus said I'm healed. If the Word said it, Jesus is the Word. Jesus said, I'm healed. Must be true. Jesus can't lie. The Bible says He can't lie. God can't lie, so it must be true. It's got to be true. You see, God loves faith. And you've heard me say this before, and this is the truth. The highest level of place you can ever walk in any area of the Christian walk is to walk by faith. To receive healing through gifts of the Spirit or anything, that's fine. But the best place to ever walk is you believe Jesus. You believe Jesus for yourself. Now, it doesn't mean somebody else can't pray for you, somebody else. But you know what? Jesus just wants you. You know, He wants this thing to be personal about you and Him. His love for you. It is amazing because you can get people who have great healing anointings. That don't make them even a good Christian. Because they have an anointing from God. They're not special. But I'm going to tell you, faith is a special thing. When anybody trusts God, you're pleasing Him. Ain't anything better that you could have ever done is you trusted Him. Nothing greater. And He wants you to know that today. Just receive it. Make that your voice. Your body might tell you different for some days. You might leave here and say, no, Jesus said I'm healed. Your body say, well, I tell you what, I don't feel you. Jesus said I'm healed. You might as well get a, Jesus said I'm healed. Jesus did.
Praise God.
Jesus said I'm well. Amen. See, whatever it is, would it be? We're talking about healing here, but this could be used in anything. Whether you needed finances for something, Jesus said, I have the money. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He supplies all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Ask and you shall receive. He didn't say, Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. He actually quoted that. Ask and you shall receive. He didn't say, ask and sometimes God ain't going to give it to you. Sometimes He'll say yes. Sometimes He'll say no. Jesus said, if you ask, you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. Could Jesus lie to you? Say, but I asked and I didn't hear anything. Well, are you walking around saying that? I asked and He didn't do it. Oh, that's a good faith place to walk. Oh, no. You quit. He didn't. You quit. He didn't quit. Jesus don't quit. Hallelujah. Thank God He knows. He's still working on me. Got His hands full. You might have to wait a little longer because He's got a lot to do on me. You'll have to wait a while. Hallelujah. What I want you to do is just get yourself over where you're starting. And voice that to yourself. This is Jesus. Jesus spoke to you. He went as far to pass down through history so you could have these words. Amen. For you.
Amen.
For you. Anyone that would take it and believe it. That's all He wants you to do. Hallelujah. Just take a hold of that. It's Jesus talking to you. Father, we just want to thank You today. Father, that Your word is mightily and working in each one today in the name of Jesus. Your word is being fulfilled in them. Hallelujah. The good work that You started in them, You're bringing it completion. Faith can't stop, Lord God. Faith will bring to pass what was believed and said. It is so. Jesus, You said it Yourself. Hallelujah. And I just thank You, Lord God, that Your word's working, that the things in this book are fulfilled. And Lord, all we need is revelation on it. That's all we need. And Lord God, I want to thank You in these last days. And we are in a last day time. And Father, but I want to thank You. You're going to reveal to us and show us our place. You're going to show us, Lord God. That's Your plan and purpose. You sent Your word specifically for it. Lord God, truly, if God is for us, who could be against us? Hallelujah. What can stand against us? But Father God, I want to thank You that Your word is going forth. And we receive it today and we declare it is so. And Father God, I want to thank You giving us wisdom, Lord God. Lord, there's many things that we can see in Scripture we know is true. But Lord, we definitely need some wisdom on some of these things. But I want to thank You. You said if we ask, You'd give it to us. Hallelujah. And so we're asking, Lord God, for wisdom in this time to measure and put the word in its place that it belongs and in its place of use. Lord God, that we're not just throwing it out there, Father God. Father, we don't want to misuse these wonderful, powerful words that You've given us, Lord God. Lord, we don't want to make a mockery in any way of Your word. Lord, Your word was sent to bless humanity. And Lord God, we don't want a little bit of blessing coming out. Lord, the day and age we live, we need a lot of blessing. Coming out. We need a ton of blessing coming out in this age and time, and that's what we're praying for. Your blessing working mightily today in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord God. Father, we expect mighty things among us this year.
Thank You.
Hallelujah. Father, grace. The grace of the Word of God is greater than all the sin that's going on, whether this nation or any place in the earth. I want to thank You. Grace is greater. Hallelujah. The grace that brought us in is the grace that will keep us. It's the grace that will save anybody that will call on that name. It's the grace that will work mighty to heal every sickness and every disease. It's the grace, Lord God, that will cure anything, Lord God, from a person's mind to whatever it might be, Father God, that it will deliver and set free. Every demon must bow to these words. Hallelujah. And we thank You, Father God, that it is working mightily in us. Hallelujah. Father God, we're praying for anything we want, Lord God, we desire the fire to fall. We desire a pouring out of the Spirit in this time and this age. Lord God, we desire, Lord God, that You would move to turn hearts of Your people back to You again. Lord God, we desire that. Hallelujah. Lord God, we want another call because, Lord God, there are many who will come back to the call. There are many who will follow back. Hallelujah. And I thank You, Father God, Your call is going out even to the lost, Lord God. You're shifting and moving things in this nation. Things are happening and going on, Lord God, beyond the wisdom and understanding of men. But Lord God, you've declared it would be happening, and you declared it would be so, and we see it in this day and time, but we say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for fulfilling your word. Hallelujah. Setting things in order for us in this day and time. Because, Lord, there's many that you called specifically. As you said to me many years past, you said that there's people, Lord God, in your kingdom who are called specifically toward the end time. That their ministry will come in the last days and you will use them in a powerful and mighty way. And I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We are in that time, and I believe you're pulling people into position. I believe you're pulling people into place. I thank you, Lord God, that people will seek you. And Lord God, they will hear the place of their position and they'll step into that place. Oh, and what a blessing it'll be to the body of Christ. What a blessing it shall be as ones take their place. Hallelujah. And follow the anointings and the working of God that is for them, hallelujah, to bring out, to bless humanity. And we thank you, Father God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, send laborers into the harvest. Laborers into the harvest. Lord God, these are harvest days. Harvest days are coming. Lord God, it will come quickly. Hallelujah. Lord God, as the fire falls, Lord God, harvest is going to come very, very quickly. Great harvest. Great harvest. Lord, we see harvest popping up here and popping up there, but nothing like it shall be. Oh, great will be the harvest and many harvesters. Many, hallelujah, many that will be sent forth with the power of God. Many with the fire of God on them, working, hallelujah, carrying out and fulfilling your plans and purposes, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for fulfilling your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.